Few matters have vexed the government as much as cybersecurity. Why, just the other day, officials from Homeland Security Department pressed Congress for the umpteenth time to pass legislation clarifying who's supposed to do what to protect federal networks. Dan Waddell has long cybersecurity experience in government and industry, and he's just become the Director of Government Affairs for the Training and Certification Group, ISC Squared. He joins us now. Dan, good morning.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right. So tell us, first of all, what are you there to do at ISC Squared in government affairs?
Well, really, it's bringing both the private sector, the government information security community, nonprofits and academia together to try and solve these challenges that we've been talking about for a while now. We've got 16,000 members in the greater Washington, D.C. area, so a lot of brain power to tap into. So really excited and eager to get started.
So what are the big cybersecurity challenges right now? I mean, there's a lot of issues swirling around, but what are the big ones, do you feel, and how have they changed since a few years ago?
Well, when I started government contracting in 1993, it was more of a information assurance exercise. It started to get more into cyber in the late 90s and around 9/11. You had events like Hurricane Katrina, 9/11, that forced us to do things like disaster recovery and business continuity. You had virus attacks like the I Love You worm that taught us the importance of writing virus signatures to detect static threats. But nowadays, the threats are much more dynamic and harder to detect. Certainly, the proliferation of smartphones and internet-connected devices have changed the landscape. But to me, Tom, one of the biggest issues that we face today is the shortage in our cyber workforce, just the sheer numbers and volume. You hear about the FBI planning to hire 1,000 cyber analysts, the Pentagon hoping to triple their workforce by 2016. DHS is pushing to make their hires. You add them up and you wonder, where are we going to find all these people? So it's something that we've been looking at for a while now. At ISC Squared, we've been addressing and tracking this growing gap since 2004 using the ISC Squared Global Information Security Workforce Study. And not only does the latest study confirm that this gap exists, but it also reveals that the vast majority of folks surveyed, 88% of them, believe that having a qualified security staff was very important and a key to securing their infrastructure. It's one of the highest rankings out of all the different categories that we surveyed. So when we talk about a balanced solution of people, process, and technology, we really have to place emphasis on the people aspect of the equation. And the good news is I think everyone's aware of the problem now, and so I expect to see some good progress made. It'll be interesting to see what the next workforce study says about this topic.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that if we have the right people in place, then whatever changes in the threat environment occur, we'll be equipped to deal with it. And so maybe it's not as fruitful to concentrate too much on the individual threats.
Well, I think the individual threats are certainly one aspect of it, but definitely having the cyber analyst there to inspect the data and take a look at it, and above all, help to translate that information into business words, and so that the business leaders can make effective decisions. I think that's a huge gap right now. Is you've got all this data coming in, all these threats, they're changing every day. The bad guys seem to have it easier. It's a very low cost of entry to get into trying to break into the system. So it's harder to play defense. So if you have that people aspect solved and have the right folks looking at the data and translating that information in, it makes it a lot easier.
Now, the Homeland Security Department has been pushing the Einstein and Einstein 3 program to put these boxes in at the agencies. Do you feel that agencies understand what that's all about and how it can benefit them, and can it benefit them?
Well, I think it can. I mean, Einstein 3 is making some progress. It's voluntary, so DHS is somewhat limited in terms of rolling this capability out to everyone who might need it. But it really enforces the concept of continuous monitoring, and it really is such a vital component to any cybersecurity program. So continuous monitoring has been around for a few years now. It used to be more of a compliance exercise. Now you're starting to see some progress where agencies are centralizing key continuous monitoring components such as vulnerability scanning, monitoring, et cetera. You've got to realize that when the concept of continuous monitoring first came about, most folks tried to do it on their own, but they quickly realized that if you could pull resources together and centralize some functions in more of a shared services model, it was much more effective. I think we'll see some more progress this year as agencies are putting together their action plans to respond to the two OMB memos that came out late last year around continuous monitoring. So my advice would be to dedicate some resources to this process, as it tends to give you more bang for the buck, both the compliance exercise and certainly implementing some effective cybersecurity best practices.
And I guess if DHS has these boxes and they're willing to come in and put it in and you're budget constrained, why not let them do it?
Exactly. It's an option. It's definitely worth taking a look at. It could be that you may have some resources that you could leverage in your own department, and DHS may have some resources as well. So looking to see what you can combine, and maybe a hybrid approach would also work. So it doesn't have to be one size fits all. You can kind of customize it based upon your needs.
We're speaking with Dan Waddell. He is Director of Government Affairs at ISC Squared. And let's talk about legislation, because the degree of information sharing and cooperation seems to be increasing thanks to presidential order between agencies and the domains in the private sector that they cover. Is it really passé now, do you believe, to the call for legislation? Do we still need it?
I think we need some legislation, certainly in some areas. I definitely want to make sure that the balance of security and privacy is remaining at the forefront. Obviously, you know, we need to share this information, but let's also talk about, you know, what type of information are we collecting, how are we retaining it, et cetera. In terms of legislation, I think there are a couple of other areas that we can make some progress on. I'd like to see an overhaul of FISMA. I know folks have been talking about that for a while. I'd like to take another look at the metrics by which we measure agencies, get rid of some of those metrics that maybe aren't moving the needle so much, and adding and reprioritizing those that can demonstrate a more effective measurement of how an agency is securing their systems. I mean, you know, for example, taking a look at how long does it take to patch your system once a vulnerability is discovered, or how long does it take you to notify your users in the event of a data breach? Just a couple of examples of some metrics that we can look at. And I think we're starting to see some good bills being considered on Capitol Hill right now that address the workforce shortage that we talked about. I know this week Senator Tim Kaine from my home state of Virginia introduced the Credentialing Improvement for Troop Talent, or Credit Act of 2014, to help service members acquire credentials that would ease their transition into the civilian workforce. The great thing about the Credit Act is it would expand the authority of the Military Tuition Assistance Program to cover credentialing expenses by authorizing the use of funds to pay for licensing fees, training materials, test fees, et cetera. And there was also a DHS cyber hiring measure sponsored by Senator Tom Carper from Delaware that just cleared the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. And what this does, it aims to give DHS more flexibility in terms of hiring cybersecurity specialists, and it would authorize DHS to pay cyber experts more and retain them with bonuses. I mean, it's a very tight community here in the greater Washington, D.C. area. We're always competing for resources.
Sure.
I think, you know, seeing that would be really good.
Now, there are some issues that are bigger than the federal government, and I'm thinking of the deal or the lack of – or the deal that's about to expire between ICANN and the Commerce Department and the opening up of the Internet to thousands of new domain names. Do you worry that all of this activity could somehow come back to bite federal networks, for example, by DNS name hacking and that kind of thing?
Yeah, DNS name hacking is definitely something to take a look at. So I'd say obviously moving into an area where we are adding more domains to the system, you're increasing risk. Anytime you increase risk, you've got to take a closer look at it. So certainly having those cyber analysts to take a look at things such as DNS spoofing, you're kind of expanding the landscape and making it a little bit easier for these guys to launch their attack. So definitely something to consider.
And just finally, how good do you think agencies in general are at dealing with zero-day vulnerabilities? We keep having these repeated incidents, the latest one being Heartbleed.
Yeah, I mean, I think zero days by their very nature are hard to handle. If you think about it, you've just been alerted to a vulnerability, yet there's no fix for it right now. A big part of understanding the impact of zero days is the inventory piece. And I think that's where a lot of agencies are struggling right now, knowing what's within your environment, what's within your boundary, what's connected to your network. That's really where you need to start. So without knowing what you have, it's really hard to deal with zero days, because as soon as you hear about one, you ask yourself, am I effective? Am I affected? You can't answer that unless you have a really good grasp of your hardware, your software, and what's running in your environment.
And what percentage of federal servers do you think have the word password or admin as their password?
Any percentage is too many.
All right, so it's hard to tell, but I guess you'd have to type into all of them to find out, huh?
Exactly.
All right, Dan Waddell is Director of Government Affairs at ISC Squared. Congratulations on the job, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.